Most people expect healing to produce relief. What it actually produces first is something more disorienting than that. You've done the work, something has genuinely shifted, and the pattern that used to run decisions doesn't have the same grip it once had. And you notice something unexpected. You sit across from someone you love, and you notice you could say that true thing, something more honest than you usually allow. You might not say it, but the constraint is different, which used to feel like an impossibility now feels like you have a choice. The thing you've been waiting to feel is not relief. It's a kind of exposure, because the pattern, the anxiety, the avoidance, the achievement loop, the preemptive shrinking, was also doing something else. It was explaining something. It was organizing the self around a coherent account of why certain things aren't possible. When that pattern loses its grip, the explanation and the mask goes away with it. And what's left is a version of you that has no good reason not to be you. That is what healed meant accountable. Not a moral claim, but a clinical observation. And today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to talk about how healing and accountability kind of go hand in hand, not as an obligation, but as an act of completion. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about healing and accountability, because I think there's a framing here. And before we go into this, I want to define what I mean when I say healed meant accountability, because that phrase can be heard in a lot of different ways, and some of them I don't intend. I don't mean you owe anyone anything. I don't mean you should have done it better, and I don't mean the past is yours to correct or the pattern was a choice you made. What I mean is something more specific and maybe more interesting. When the pattern that was making certain decisions on your behalf completes and it loses the organizing grip, you, or what's underneath that pattern, becomes the primary author. And that's different. Think of this as, you know, we all wear masks in our lives, and we've learned to do that because of various reasons, our upbringing, where we went to school, how our parents treated us, whatever. That's how we learn to survive, or at least how we think we survived. And when those come off, sometimes we don't even recognize ourselves and what's underneath it. And that's very disorienting. And this arrives as a consequence of completion, not as a demand before it. It's not that you have to just unmask everything. It's that it happens. And three things that I want to say before I go deeper. This episode is not an argument that difficulty is chosen. Some difficulty is genuinely circumstantial. And it's very much outside of our control. And the accountability I'm describing in this episode isn't about those things. It's not a judgment. This is also not a critique of people who haven't completed anything. The patterns that have been running are there for real reasons and real purposes. These are intelligent adaptations to real environments, and in many cases, those environments were very difficult. They deserve to be understood as such rather than something that we should overcome with our willpower. And finally, this isn't about moral achievement either. It's a clinical observation. And what tends to happen when genuine completion occurs? The accountability isn't something you decide to have. It arrives as a consequence of pattern completing. And just as a quick aside, and I may do a separate podcast about this, and I've talked about psychedelics in the podcast. But one of the interesting things about psychedelics that is talked about is something called ego death. And I wouldn't necessarily call it ego death because that has all these connotations around that idea. I would say it's more of an unmasking. I think that's the important piece. And when you take those layers off, you begin to ask the question, like, well, what am I underneath that? So there's three stages that come in sequence, and none of them are particularly comfortable. The first thing that completion produces is capacity. It's not confidence, and it's not it's not certainty. It's something more like room, and it's a gap between what the pattern used to require and what you actually do. The experience of noticing that something is possible that wasn't there before, and it's not theoretical, it's actual, right? Here's what capacity feels like on the inside. You're in a conversation and you notice that you could say something that is more true, and you might not say it, but you notice that there isn't the constraint there to prevent you from saying it. And that gap between impossibility and choice is what I mean by capacity. It isn't a small thing. For the person who learned that being truly known led somewhere painful, the one for whom genuine contact carried a cost, this shows up as noticing that you could say something honest in the conversation, and you monitor yourself more lightly, if you will. And if you say it, you might scan for damage, but let's just say it's less automatic. It's not the, experience that we have. The thing that used to organize every moment of exposure is still there, but it's lost some of its grip, if you will. And that means something is more available. Capacity is not the same as comfort. The first experience of genuine capacity is often disorienting. The constraint that was organizing the decision is gone, and what's left is a kind of open space that seems really unfamiliar. Some people initially experience this as a new quality of anxiety, and it's not the old anxiety, which was organized around the threat. This anxiety is organized around the openness and the possibility and the anxiety of not having a good reason not to, not to do something. It's that open space feeling. It's like, whoa, what do I do now? What tends to happen in this stage is small. The email that gets written and you send it without reading it six times. Not because you're more confident necessarily, but because you don't need that protective mechanism anymore. And there's less indecision in here. So the first sign that the work has reached something real isn't relief. It's noticing what it feels like to have the door open. The second stage is really interesting. And I would call this grief. And this is something that we often aren't warned about. It's the part people mistake for something going wrong. The pattern was doing something beyond causing suffering. It was also explaining things. And you organize the self around a coherent account of why certain things weren't possible, or why certain things happened, or why the relationship couldn't be asked for more. Why your career couldn't be risks, why the creative work couldn't be shown. When the pattern completes, your explanation loses credibility, and you sometimes discover something you don't expect, which is that you miss it. I would say that there's a part of this that is in line with missing the part of yourself that you are no longer identified with. And sometimes it's about there's a excuse that was a shelter and they go away. Oftentimes the grief of the identity organized around the wound, right? You know, there is a certain label that we give ourselves that sometimes once we heal, that goes away and we're left with, well, who is this? You know, who am I? And maybe you know, but you still miss that identity. We organize around certain identities. And when the pattern is completed, these identities lose authority over us. The self that was organized around it has to also reorganize. And that reorganization, while it's happening, feels like a loss, right? And there's other forms of grief here. There's the grief of the community. Sometimes what's grieving is the community of people who you shared this pattern with, right? You had a shared language, you had a mutual recognition, the belonging to the pattern made it possible, right? The group, the people around you knew what this pattern meant. You had conversations that made sense to these people, right? To this group. And when you kind of go through this, you have to reorganize and renegotiate your relationships. And some of those relationships don't survive the renegotiation. That's not a failure of healing. That is a sign you have moved beyond. And there's no judgment about that on either side, by the way. It's just your level of understanding has shifted relative to some other people. And the last part of the grief that I think is hardest to understand is the grief of time. You know, the pattern ran for a long time, and it organized decisions that cannot be undone. It shaped your life, right? A relationship that didn't get what it needed, or your creative work that didn't, you know, get received the way that you wanted it to. And there's loss there, not as a reason to stop healing, a reason to let the grief be what it is rather than rushing through it. And you acknowledge it. Acknowledging it doesn't mean the healing was wrong. It means the healing was real enough to produce it. The grief of completion isn't a regret. It's the recognition that something has reshaped in your life. And one distinction worth naming, this grief is different than the grief that was keeping the pattern. In other words, the grief that circled, it returned to the same place all the time. And I can give an example of this. When I got divorced, I had a story around the divorce. And whenever I, you know, started dating someone or went on a date, people would ask me about the divorce, and eventually I would tell them the whole story. And I remember one time I was out with somebody and they said, so what happened? And I realized the story was gone. Like, and it was really disorienting, by the way, in that moment, because I didn't know what to say at that point. But I knew in my beingness that piece was different for me. And so I had to basically, you know, make something up on the fly. It was very bizarre. It was a very bizarre feeling because so much of who I was before that, I organized in a particular way. And how I discussed things about my marriage was through that lens. And then it was gone. And it was like, wow, now what? You know, there's a loss there, right? It was a good thing. I had completed something. But there was that piece that was like an emptiness, if you will, in there. I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other end of the show, I'm going to talk about the last stage and also what this means and what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman, and we're talking about healing and accountability. And I want to talk about the third thing that completion produces, and oftentimes it's the most disorienting. And I kind of alluded to this before the break, which is about identity. You see, the pattern wasn't just explaining things. It was also organizing who you are in a way. And when it completes, you lose your identity around what you were organizing yourself around, right? And you need to reorganize. And for many people, the first experience includes a period of not knowing the answer to that question, which is, who am I without this pattern? And that's a piece that I think is really important. And the question to ask yourself is, what do I reach for when I'm not reaching for this pattern or this completion or this piece, whatever that is? How do you organize yourself? And I'll give you a few examples. The achiever who built everything around competence, what do they reach for when the achievement stops being the primary answer to who they are? This is important when people go into retirement. And in my experience, they reach for things that are smaller, more personable, less externally legible. You know, there's less, and not always. Or there's a creative pursuit that was always deprioritized, or a relationship that only got leftover attention. The question of what this is actually for that was being successful deferred to by the next project. And if you are one of these achievers, you know what I'm talking about. It's like if you step back, you realize, oh, I did X and I didn't take a break, and then I did Y, and I didn't take a break, and then I did Z, and then I didn't take a break, and you get where I'm going with that. It's like, what happens when you stop doing that? What do you do with yourself? Now, old relationships can feel different, not because the other person changed, but because the version of you that organized around the pattern is being replaced by something that doesn't have the same shape. And the relationships that were built around whatever constraint there was, you know, lower demand, lower exposure, organized around the pattern, may need to be renegotiated around what you're organized around now, right? If you go into a relationship with somebody and you basically have this unconscious agreement, hey, we're not going to show each other our deeper selves, and then you have an experience where you like want to do that, you and your partner are going to have to really dive into, what does that mean, right? How does that work? And finally, there's a question of, who am I? Which the pattern was answering, but in a way that was a mask. And for some people, this is really terrifying. For others, it's the first time the question has felt really answerable. Both are responses, and both are signs that reorganization is real. Because the pattern may have been answering the question of who you are, and when it completes, now you have to answer it for yourself. And that's not a small task. So what does accountability actually mean? After the capacity, after the grief, after the identity reorganization, what do you have, right? It means that decisions are more coming from a deeper place of who you are. Not entirely, because obviously we live in a world of circumstance, right? And other people are there, and there's inherited patterns, and there's physiologic load, and there's a relational context, and all of that is still real. But your relationship to those things, because the pattern is gone, has changed. And so your ability to be able to engage with those situations or those systems changes because you've changed. accountability in this sense isn't about self-blame for the decisions that the patterns made, you know, because the pattern ran for really real reasons, right? What accountability does is this: going forward, with the capacity you now have, how do you act from the person rather from the pattern, right? How do you be more you, if you will? And I guess the thing I would say going back to it is that with my own personal experience, I didn't have to allow the situation from my marriage guide who I dated going forward. Accountability isn't blaming yourself for the past. It's really being like, oh, how do I move forward in my life? So let me ask you three questions in closing. And the first is, where in your life do you notice the pattern's grip has loosened? It may still be there, but maybe there's something that's possible that wasn't possible before. And what is the capacity that's appeared that you haven't fully claimed yet? Second question is, what are you grieving about if the pattern has completed, or if the pattern does complete? What are you going to miss? What are you losing alongside that was allowing you to organize your life? And finally, what do you reach for when you're not reaching for your pattern? Where do you go to? Healed means accountable, and not because you owe it to anyone, and not because the past requires correcting, but because the pattern that was making certain decisions on your behalf is completed enough that the decisions are now more genuinely yours. And the life that becomes possible when this is true, when you're the primary author of your own responses rather than the pattern, this is a bigger area for you to organize around. And it's what we've all been waiting for. And it's not about blaming you for the past. It's authorship of what comes next. So next week, I'm going to talk about what 6 months of healing work can actually produce. And we're going to talk more about progress. And if you haven't taken the quiz, check it out on my website, askdrgill.com. I have a link to it in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you and your listenership. I will see you next time.